Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I just want to say to you, it was a pleasure to be able to sit alongside you at the BLNG Grand Final
over the last weekend. You hardly talked to me.
Well, I was working.
Are we going to start the show with a song again, Rick?
No, we won't. No.
How was the feedback? Did we get any feedback from our listeners?
I've had a lot that we should actually go into the recording studio.
I've signed with Mushroom Records.
Somebody suggested to me we'd be better off miming, though.
Yes, very good grand final, Rick. I'll just quickly go. Brosser won the under-15s, as we said. Well, South Gawler was an upset. It wasn't really an upset. It's not really an upset. Both teams are good enough to get in the grand final, so you can't really say it was an upset. But, South came from third.
Yes.
So I would have I would have tipped Newry to win that.
Well, I think I tipped South.
I think you did tip South. And Angaston 3 in a row.
You got to remember that final was only the second semi final. There was only a point win by Newry, so there was nothing really.
Yeah,
between
easy
them.
Point though, wasn't it? A clear point. it was always going to be a good
and
game.
And what about
wasn't it?
That reserves game?
3 in a row for Angaston.
Can I say something of incredible statement? That would be one of the worst games of football I have ever seen in my life.
I don't reckon you're going to get an argument from me. It was shocking, wasn't it? It couldn't go quick enough.
Well, the sad thing was, on two accounts, that the under-17s, which was the curtain raiser to that reserves grand final, was a very, very good game with a lot of very talented young kids playing. And I guess the reserves are for the people on the downhill slide from their heyday. But the standard and the difference was just chalk and cheese. For those listeners who weren't there, there was 1-5. This is between the sides. This isn't the scores of one side. 1-5 kicked between them in the first quarter. And just to have the mirror image, another 1-5 in the second. 2-10 at half time. I actually had to write the game up, and I always found it very difficult to say anything.
I think you were probably lucky, because I thought that Byster, number 40, was outstanding and easily the best player on the ground. But other than that, and he didn't win the medal.
Well, I mean, the amazing thing is that, and I totally agree with you, I had him best on the ground by a mile.
So, I mean, he marked everything. He kicked goals.
Well, he kicked so many goals. But anyway, it was a very... He was the only highlight of the game. And he's really an A-grade footballer.
Yeah,
I don't know how he qualified.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a painful event. And, well, I mean, the only thing that was dramatically about it was that Ango looked as though they were done for all money.
Yeah.
I mean, in such a low-scoring game, off the top of my head, I think they were 17 points down at three-quarter time, which in terms of in terms of 2-10 being for the first
in
half.
In perfect weather.
Yes. And in fact, having mentioned and praised Byster, he actually probably had the chance before the end.
Yes, he did.
Having kicked all the goals he'd kicked, he missed one from 30 metres out, which probably would have won the game. Anyway, 3 in a row to Angaston. Good luck to him.
We're just getting the York Peninsula B grade, their grand final was 4-5 behind. So it sounds like it wouldn't have been much better than ours. Just a little.
So, and the.
A grade was a cracker.
Oh, great game. High scoring game.
To be honest,
I've got no vested interest in either of them. I think that the scoreboard did a disservice to Tanunda. I thought they were a bit better. I thought they were a better side on the day than the margin indicated. But to Angaston's credit, they did give it a real go in the last quarter.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, Tanunda probably eased off a bit of each. Tanunda eased off a bit, probably. Angaston came out firing early in that last quarter and could have made it 3 points.
Yes.
Yeah. Missed that goal and it went back down to an under kick goal.
Yeah.
And there was that couple goals up with Lockie Agars winning the medal. Outstanding game by him.
I think the most important part was that he played very well throughout the game, but his opening stanza, his first half was absolutely brilliant. And that really put a mark on the what was going to eventually be the result of the game. He really set Tanunda up.
He kicked three or four goals in the first quarter.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I had to sit next to his old man. And, tell you what.
They, I think everything that I had sort of suggested about Tanunda showed up, that they had far better depth.
Yep.
I thought they were a bit quicker. I thought Kurtz was yet again magnificent. And, you know, if you've got a full forward of Trembath standing...
Six goals.
You know, I mean, he's probably not fit enough to still be playing Sandful football, but he's got a beautiful mark. And the thing that I like about the way he plays, and some people, you can't teach it, I don't think, but some people have the unique ability to time their leading perfectly and obviously to space. And when you've got people like Turlick and co. Delivering the ball, it makes life a bit easier. So,
and a very good kick to go with it.
Very rarely misses.
Very accurate.
So it was a great game. I thought it was a very enjoyable game.
Real good game. So Lockie Agar's got the Hearn medal in the end, which is, I think, the only one we picked for the day, basically.
Well, it is.
The other medals all went to somebody else that we sort of picked.
We don't officially know. I was actually on the panel voting for the best on the ground in the A grade, and I know that there are another couple together with myself who voted for Agar's. So
it'd be interesting to see who else would have got votes out of that. But
he would have won it quite comfortably.
I would have thought. Other good players was Matt Pryor. He was on the ball.
Yeah.
He came back from Centrals. So. And Trembath, obviously, and Westhoff was good too.
Westhoff, you know, on the ball, in the middle of the ground, and Kurtz. I mean, they got good service. And, I mean, the guy I seem to have a soft spot for, I thought McFarlane was very good as well.
Yeah, he was very... I mean, he's always serviceable, isn't he? He's always around the mark.
Not
far off.
So there you go.
Well,
that's
the BLNG. Grand Font done.
Done and dusted. So AFL, let's talk about Toby Green and... Tommy Hawk, eh?
Well,
what's going on there?
Let's appeal the appeal the appeal, eh? Oh, how many appeals can there be?
I just find it quite amazing that there seems to be two sets of rules, one sort of interpretation for the minor round, and then when the finals come around, it's almost as if you've got to actually take a gun out and shoot someone before they want to suspend you. I mean, Hawkins was... blatantly obvious to state, and he is gone for a week.
Yep.
I would suggest that probably if that had happened in the minor round, it would have been
two weeks.
Or
three,
But as for Toby Green, how he got off the first time is beyond...
Which won them the game against Brisbane.
Absolutely. Well, amazing. Absolutely.
Best on ground, and he shouldn't have been playing.
Well, he shouldn't have been playing.
He shouldn't have been playing.
And that means that decision has actually altered the finals, because they wouldn't have beaten Brisbane without Toby Green, which means that Brisbane would be playing this week.
Yeah.
And I just find it insulting to the sporting general public that as we speak, Toby Green's fronting up to appeal the appeal. I just can't believe that he just hasn't been suspended, end of story.
Look, I always thought he was just a big head, and I saw an interview on Fox Footy not so long ago, and he sounded like the best young lad, you know, and I thought, no, I've got a different view of him, but I think I'm back to that old view of him again.
Well...
You know, he's a fruitcake. The stuff he does is just ridiculous.
Well, I must admit that I don't know him from a bar of soap, but I have met during my... sporting career, some really lovely people, and you know, they unfortunately have white line fever, and their whole personality changes once they cross over that white line.
So he might have that sort of, because he sounded like the nicest guy, but to do that 2 weeks in a row, I mean, there's something wrong there, isn't there?
Well, it means at least one of two things: he's not as smart as he comes across, or he can't control himself. Mm. I mean, what bigger incentive to make sure you don't get suspended or reported than playing in a preliminary final?
It's letting your teammates down.
Well, it's shocking.
You know?
Yeah.
And as we know, he's one of the key players for them. And there he is out on the sidelines at the moment.
at the moment.
The appeal tonight.
It will be very, very interesting to see what decision they hand down.
I think it'll be Collingwood-Richmond grand final, don't you, Rick?
Oh, we're going to your pick right now, okay.
My pick's out, actually. West Coast.
That's right. You told me that you'd seen
the premiers. I've seen the premiers.
Yeah. Pity they're not playing.
Yeah.
No, I honestly can't. I think I'll go along with you. I cannot believe that Geelong can beat Richmond. And it would be a ginormous upset if GWS beat Collingwood.
Oh, and they've got another one out. He's had appendicitis too. Now, number six he is. I can't think of his name just off the top of my head.
All right.
Yeah, he's out with appendicitis. He's had an operation.
I tell you what, if we're correct and it's a Richmond-Collingwood grand final, they could do with a stadium twice as big because there will be... And it will be a huge game. Absolutely huge game.
Absolutely. No, it'll be...
So there you go. We've solved it all, so we don't have to go to the grand final now. You've tricked it. You were so accurate the first time you couldn't go.
I've seen the premiers and they were out already, so...
Now, I've got a... Can I bring up the wash-up of the...
What you like.
Can I bring up the wash-up of the Ashes? I just find this quite extraordinary that... we got knocked off, as we all know, in the last test for the series to be tied 2-2. We retained the Ashes because we did the Englishman didn't win them back. But what's blown me apart is we are so lucky to have been there because of our 9 batsmen who actually batted in the test series, only 3 of them only 3 of them averaged over 30. Obviously, to state the obvious, Smith 110 or something crazy, Labuschagne on 50, and Matthew Wade with his last innings ton just got on to 33. No one else got above 30. Now, that's 6 out of 9, and that's supposedly our batting lineup or lack of for the upcoming Pakistan Test Series. And just to throw interesting comments in, our coach, Justin Langer, says that the in-form David Warner will be guaranteed to open the innings in the first test against Pakistan in Brisbane in November. Now,
he made 95.
He did.
In all the tests. and our old mate Smithy, total of 95, 775.
That's correct. That's correct. He only made the odd nearly 700.
700 more than Warner.
But what I find interesting is that, sure, you've got to back in talent, and everybody who has got talent has bad days. But to guarantee that, there's actually 4 Sheffield Shield games to be played before the test, and yet the coach has already got Warner guaranteed to open the innings.
Well, I can't see how you can.
Well, you can because you can. But, it just makes... What sort of incentive is there? On the other hand, Langer does admit that there is a huge problem with the batting lineup, and he pointed out that the other 2 openers between them, Cameron Bancroft and Marcus Harris, only made 102. Travis Head only made 150, and Khawaja didn't make any 50s. So, I don't know what's going to happen.
Just tell me the story. You told me the story a day or so ago about Travis Head. He's come back, and there's a match to be played.
Cricket Australia. I do not know how you work this out. I can understand if Travi was a fast bowler, and on the workload that they'd rotated them in England. But Travis Head is a batsman, right? He wants, or wanted to, captain South Australia and play in the one-dayers that are happening next week. He got dropped for the 5th test, so he sat in the dressing room for the entire match, and Cricket Australia have ordered him to have a rest. Now that is just unbelievable. You got a physical game like AFL, footballers fronting up week in, week out, huge physical.
He's made no runs to be tired about either while he was playing.
Well, He made, well, he, to be fair to Travis, he probably made as many as anybody other than the three. But how you can say, I mean, you can carry on. I mean, one day cricket, we're not even talking about 4 day cricket. We're talking about 1 day cricket. The bloke wants to get home, lead his state and Cricket Australia. It's got nothing to do with the sacker. Mm. The first time I'm not having a go at the sacker.
Well, let's have a go at him while we're there.
That is just ridiculous, unbelievable,
isn't it?
I mean, when I was playing, the best, you can bat in the nets all day long, but the best form
is match practice.
Of course it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Travis having an enforced rest. How about that?
I mean, that is ridiculous. Have we got a joke, Rick?
We have got a joke.
I know our producer is interstate, well, so we're flying.
Well, we are.
Alone
we're
going
to have to take a risk with this one the producer hasn't given it necessarily okay. But the shockingly disgruntled supporter spotted the coach and looked at him and said, "They must be on drugs." The coach looked back and said, "Well, I can tell you one thing: it couldn't be speed."
Well, I never. There we go. No, I think that'll pass the test, I think, for it.
I think it will probably, yeah.
So. We're probably just about done today, Rick, aren't we?
I think we are. So I'm looking forward to the AFL finals. I'm also looking forward to the Shield start because I think it's going to be a real test of getting back to where we were. I think it's going to be a real test to see whether they're going to pay attention to form in those Sheffield Shield games, or are they just going to go with the names?
Mm. Well, looks like they're going to go with the names. They're going to pick Warner straight away. I mean, you know, give some young guy a go, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a difference between, say, an average of 20 having a bad trot and nine. And you know, it's over 10 innings.
Yeah.
And actually, if we take away the one innings he made of 60, it doesn't leave a lot for the rest, does it?
No, we'll leave that one on there.
All right, then. Well, until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.